Welcome to the Echo Chamber, Reboot Republic, Tortoise Shack election coverage. I'm your host, Rory Hearn, and joined by co-hosts and supreme podcast election analysts who are covering it all at the great and wonderful, providing the insights. Martin, yeah. Tony, there's no words, kind of earthquake, seismics, fundamental shift, change.
Tsunamis.
I want to come in straight away and say that we had Emmett Kirwan in on Reboot last week, and I was kind of, me and you, it got a bit heated, and I spoke about the fact that, you know, that no one saw this coming, and you and Martin actually in both your fence were, well, we both saw it coming, and I was probably the more moderate person. And in fairness, you've been campaigning for this for years.
Yeah, we've been. You know, I suppose I've been involved in left politics and activism for almost 20 years. And this day is a very, very welcome day. And the vote for Sinn Féin, I think the most important thing from, I suppose, a broadly progressive people who've been campaigning for real social change for decades, the most important thing, and the media, I think this is what they're trying to downplay. Some of them, I hear them saying, oh, well, the vote for Sinn Féin was just an anti-Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael vote. No, it wasn't. This was a vote. And if you look at the exit polls, the most significant thing was people put housing and health first. They then said, we want public investment, not tax cuts. Mm. If you look at it, this was a progressive vote amongst the, and they're saying younger. It's not actually younger.
Up to 50.
It's up to 50. Yes.
55 already.
Yeah. No, but so this is a vote for, this is the social revolution we never had. This is the Republic, the proclamation actually saying we want a society as well as an economy. And it is an assertion from a generation that gave us repeal, that gave us marriage equality, that also the classes and groups who made the water movement. It is, you know, built of activism and of course coming from the depth of the social crisis that we face, the housing crisis, the health crisis, the childcare crisis, poverty. And also, what I was quite struck by was, and I think within this is a generation, we're still using generation, but people who actually say, we care that there's homeless people. Mm. We care about direct provision. We care about travellers. We're no longer going to be bought off by the Schlieving.
For a fiver a week.
This is profound, profound, profound.
And it's not all media coming out. Justine McCarthy came out today and she said that this was the best informed electorate that she had come across. Mm. They knew the issues. They knew what was happening. And mostly they knew what they wanted. So yes, whilst we have some absolutely awful punditry going on out there, there are more insightful people too.
I agree, Martin. The commentariat has not covered itself in glory. Okay. You can't have the same political editor telling everybody that it was only Leo versus Micheál. It's only Leo versus Micheál, and now try to lecture us about what's going to happen next. I think that's just astounding. Are we all supposed to have this, let's wipe our memories for the last few weeks? But nonetheless, taking that forward, taking Rory's point, I spoke to Nessa Horrigan today, who has finished second to Mary Lou McDonald in Dublin Central, and she made that point about repeal brought together communities. You know, she's in Cabra, people in the north inner city, the people in Drumcondra and Glasnevin. They brought them together and she thought, maybe I can make a difference. Maybe I can be that person who's going to do it. And she is that person now. Yeah. As of this evening, she's that person. Yeah. And this, as you said, it's a social revolution. It's not necessarily the Sinn Féin revolution. Sinn Féin are just a vehicle in many respects.
Absolutely.
And the reason they're an effective vehicle is because I always think of things in basketball terms. Sorry, folks, but I always think the old game we used to play 3-on-3. Sinn Féin's top three beats anybody else's top three. That's the thing. If you put their three against any of the other three, that's who the electorate are going to fix on.
But what's important about Sinn Féin, I think, is that they do provide a unique combination of kind of political ideologies and perspectives, and they bring together a Republican, a strong Republican, which is rooted in working class areas, which believes in, you know, unity in Ireland in terms that's very important for them. It speaks to and is rooted in working class communities who've been deeply excluded, and nobody else has really spoken with them and has spoken for them. And they also bring together the middle class. Increasingly, they have spoken about, and not in a, I disagree with the portrayal that they've, which the media's tried to say, oh, they've kind of softened to the middle class. No, they haven't. They've given a vision to the middle class of an equal society. They've given them the Nordic model and people have bought into it. And they've brought the generational housing crisis, generational excluded with them. They've brought them all along with. And what is the most heartening thing, it seems, in this is not just has there been a Sinn Féin surge, but the transfer to the other left party seems to have really gathered. And I think it was Twitter, if you looked at it, that was trending on Twitter on the day before the election, the day of the election, which came in a way organically, which we had been calling for, I had been calling for outside the parties who didn't do it.
But you say it came organically. We were saying, make sure we get a hashtag vote left, transfer left. That was
true.
But you guys are organic, okay? You're not, it's not coming from a party central. It's not from organic. It's not coming from a structured party. This came from outside. And I think the real thing is going to be, where does this go? How is this mood of change, demand for change brought forward?
Tony, where's it going?
Where's it going? I genuinely believe that we will be back within 9 months to a second general election. I think Sinn Féin, even looking at the numbers, even the other people who were the, how I say, Sinn Féin averse, have said that they left 10 seats behind them today, based on the quota. I don't think, like, Fine Gael have been very clear. Owen Murphy was so rude to the voice of the electorate on the news just earlier when he said that they will not talk to Sinn Féin. That is disenfranchising a huge number of, it's just, they have learned nothing from this experience. They haven't got any humility whatsoever. And if you don't have humility and you won't learn, you won't actually grow.
Rory, where is it going?
Well, I think the significance, again, I come back to this, this is so much more than the votes for the parties that has happened and the shift to Sinn Féin. As you said, Tony, Sinn Féin, the vote to Sinn Féin represents what I've described, put out the tweet. There's been a debate raging in Ireland for about 30 years or discussion about, and Mary Harney started and said, are we politically and economically, socially closer to the US neoliberal model of Boston, or are we closer to the continental social democratic, or what you might call a broader society first model of Berlin? It was Boston or Berlin. And the PDs dominated. The assumption was that Ireland is a conservative country that follows America in terms of Boston. What this election has clearly said is that no, there's a shift, particularly, as you said, the generation, their 20s, 30s and 40s are saying very clearly, we want the Nordic social democracy. We want investment in public services. We want a caring society and we want businesses that operate on a rights basis. We don't. That's what they're looking for. And I think that Sinn Féin, and the other thing is that, and people are saying it has been discussed, look at what happened to the Labour Party. When they were, I remember the surge that happened in 2011, they got a huge vote. They went in and people really thought and expected, and working class people, people who were screwed by austerity, communities devastated, said Labour are going to go in and stand up for us. What did they do? They went in and implemented austerity. Now, it's a different context. There won't be implementing of austerity, but if Sinn Féin goes into a government and does not deliver on the key issues, and not just deliver on them, but actually get real change around housing, public housing, around public affordable childcare, around real climate action, around collective bargaining for workers, around putting funding back into disadvantaged communities, around ending family hubs, ending direct provision. If they do not get all those in a program for government, they should go nowhere near government.
Okay. I'm going to give it to you in a practical terms. Here's the practical terms. Sinn Féin have four choices. Okay. Three of the choices are winners and one of the choices is losers. Okay. The three winners go into opposition, watch Fianna Gael and Fianna Fáil absolutely implode together. That's option one. Option two is to go into a broad left coalition. Are the numbers there? It's squeaky, squeaky.
Doesn't seem like
it's squeaky. It could be. All right. We're almost at that place. The third option for Sinn Féin is to go back to the country. they have 10, maybe 12 more seats out there. They go back to the country. They come back as the biggest party, the biggest. The only mistake they can make is going into coalition with Fianna Fáil and giving Fianna Fáil breathing room, room to grow again. They're back on their heels. They're almost down. Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael. The way it works, broad left coalition are back to the government or back to the electorate as soon as possible. And unlike the other two parties, Sinn Féin have to put every deal that they want before their Ardèche, and the Ardèche is going to vote it down. They're going to vote it down. So yeah. The only option that works is broad left coalition or election really quick, because you don't want to lose the momentum. You don't want to lose it. And if you lose it, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael will try and make back gains. And both of them believe they could do better in another election. So it's game on for another election or a broad left coalition. If you're on the left, like Labour, and you won't commit to a left coalition, fuck you. It's an audition. This is not you're going in for talks. It's an audition. If you don't come on board, you are gone. It goes back to the electorate and you will never get a seat. Same goes for the Greens. If you don't commit left, when it goes back to the state, they'll give Sinn Féin a bigger mandate. And then they won't have to worry about coalition with the Greens. They'll have the numbers.
I think you're right in that. Because we are talking all about Sinn Féin, to talk about the other parties as well and their perspectives and the approach they take on it. That what the Greens decide to do, whatever's left of Labour decides to do, the Social Democrats, People Before Profit, is absolutely key in this. That, and Mary Lou has put it out there that she wants to create an alternative government to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And that's what she has to do. That's what this vote was for, that very clearly. And if you look at the significance of it, was Sinn Féin didn't just get 20%. They are topping the poll in constituency after constituency.
This nonsense of, I heard Richard Bruton saying that they finished with the largest, based on the exit poll, they finished with the largest vote. They haven't. If you were to actually, if you were to take this US presidential style thing, popular vote, the most popular party is now Sinn Féin. If you look at the
numbers. In terms of the numbers of people, I haven't seen those figures.
Rory, it's staggering.
It is. Yeah.
Staggering. But what struck me was the amount of constituencies where they topped the poll. That means the majority, the biggest support for whatever party is for Sinn Féin and what they're standing for. But the point, I think, is that the what will happen is Mary Lou has to bring together those parties. They should come together and say, this is the government of change that people have voted for. Anything else is not a government of change.
Yes.
Of the significance that is looked for. Now, she can go and meet Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and say, here are the, as we set out, 20 policies that this government of the left wants to do and will do. If you sign up to that, well, why not support us as a minority from outside if you really agree to it? Let the left govern.
I think
because that's the mandate for change.
That is the mandate.
Yeah, it is.
And it's a real, you've laid it out really well, because their programme for government was already, it was today described as populist, and their economic policy, as again, Venezuela was said again today, which I find quite funny, because again, we were fortunate to speak to people in Madrid and in Lisbon who have left, broad left unity governments, and they've spoken about, particularly in Portugal, that there's been no foreign capital flight. There's been foreign capital influx.
Absolutely.
These things, like, and if anybody thinks that Sinn Féin are going to take the reins of power and then all of a sudden try and spook the lads in the IFSC, it's not going to happen.
No.
I mean,
they're going to create and can create, and this is not just Sinn Féin, this is really important, that the left parties, the Greens, all the ones we know, and Sinn Féin have to sit down. Their priority is now hammering out a programme for government, a progressive programme for government for change, that would set out a vision for to put Ireland on the road towards creating a social democracy, public services, equality, decent businesses, sustainable business. That is the programme for government that they spend the next week and 2 weeks working out. And when they've that worked out and agreed, then you put that ready to go to the Dáil. And that's what goes down.
Yeah, there's only one party in the ascendancy. There's only one party in the ascendancy. That's Sinn Féin. They are now the party of power. Anybody who wants to dance has to dance with them. And that's the way this works.
I want to go into sales. In sales, they say, see, this train is leaving the station.
Yeah, it is. It's leaving.
Are you on board or are you not? And that is a very clear message. We have spoken to people from PBP. They definitely would like, if they have the numbers, they would like to form a part of it. We've spoken to Nessa Hurricane today. She's very encouraged by what's happening. She'd love to get involved. We're looking really at Eamon Ryan and Brendan Howland going, guys,
what the fuck is wrong with you? That's it, Tony. What is wrong with you?
Well, I would...
What? No, no, it is. It's what's wrong with you.
They have to... Well, we know they're deeply... They're conservative. Mm. They're cautious. They are from a different... They don't... haven't seen and understood this change that's happening. And I think there's no question what they have to do.
But the people in their party understand. Yes, they do. The people we know.
So absolutely.
Understand.
And this program for government should go to those parties and they should say, this is what the people have voted for.
Yeah.
Nothing less. And what I think might happen is that Fianna Fáil will turn around and say, yes, we will talk to Sinn Féin. Mm-hmm. And the establishment will go, we need to get them in there.
Yes.
Because if they are in the opposition, yes, we are destroyed.
Yes.
And no, and there's different things about, because you, on the one hand you say, okay, because personalities matter. Micheál Martin surely is saying, I need to be Taoiseach. Yeah. This is my chance. This is it. This so is, I will do, it. I will do whatever. I don't want another election.
Is Taoiseach or gone?
Yes, exactly. So he is going to make a government happen, I think, right? So the question is, how will he make it happen? Will he get Fine Gael in on board?
No.
No. Well, I don't know. They might go for a coalition, but if they do, they know long term.
Well, they don't have the numbers to do a confidence and supply.
No, no, it will have to be a coalition.
Yeah.
But if they're looking at it, because every party has to be looking at right now, there's 3 years at least of really the government coming in has money to spend. It can invest. It can do things. It has 3 years where it can really do things. And so every party has to be looking, say, I want to be in there to do that. And then to turn around and go face whatever comes. So I think Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael might take that calculated gamble and go into a coalition together. But the other hand, the media, etc., might be, and the establishment and all sorts of voices will be going, we cannot leave Sinn Féin and the left be the opposition because they will be the next government.
Yeah.
So let's take them in. Let's tame them.
Yes.
And Sinn Féin will be wooed in the coming days. Absolutely. And been argued, why aren't you going with Fianna Fáil? And that is going to be the biggest thing that Sinn Féin will have to withstand. And what the rest of the left needs to do, and everybody who supports the progressive agenda, is to say to Sinn Féin, we support you in forming a progressive government. And we're not going to snipe at you. We're not going to say, oh, Sinn Féin have to sign up to X, Y, Z. Mm. You agree a common programme that's broad, that's visionary, and you work on that. And don't push Sinn Féin into having to go in with Fianna Fáil.
If the numbers arise, they have, and the time limit's there already, they have 100 days to put together a broad left government, but you better put it together after 100 days. You can't go back to the electorate after 100 days.
No,
you can't.
It's not going to go on for 100 days.
But that's the time limit.
It went down for 90 the last
Yeah,
time.
Yeah. So,
90
yeah,
days
yeah. I'm telling you, 100 days is your time limit.
No, Rock stood up 3 times to nominate Enda Kenny and didn't get into the fourth go.
So they've 100 days, but you can't do 100.
Can't see it going.
You can't do 100 days of negotiation on the left and then go back to the country. You'll be wiped out.
Yeah.
You'll be wiped out. Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael coalition. The numbers aren't there, Rory. They're not there.
They will get enough to have a coalition with independents.
Okay. Some independents are easily taken down, much easier taken down than a party.
Martin, that would be another alternative that would suit, because as Rory points out, that would mean that the left would then
coalesce.
The left would absolutely be in opposition. And
yeah.
We would have an actual true
yes.
Yeah.
Dichotomy in the door for the first time, as opposed to slightly centre right and slightly more centre right.
Yeah.
And we can't have that. So they don't want that. And you make a good point about the pressure coming on from the media and commentariat and all of these people who keep saying that, you know, I've seen awful stuff printed today saying that young people don't care about history. I mean, it's absolutely insulting.
Well, don't teach it in schools.
Martin, these people have come out of school.
They've
just done their leaving cert in history. They know it more than we do because we've forgotten a lot of it.
It's because a privileged group and a political class haven't given a shit about people being homeless and people been stuck
with no prospect of having
an affordable home or get their children been stuck in waiting lists and people with disabilities. And like, I just in some ways, I feel very emotional. I feel like crying. I feel like this is actually a moment where people have said, the people of Ireland, the majority are a lot, a very significant man, particularly a generation, have said, we want a caring society.
Yeah.
And that's what we want. And that is a change that this fucking establishment has no clue to understand, to get their head around. And that is what Sinn Féin have to hold on to.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I think the hope for this is The electorate have, they made it clear, by the way, in the last election as well, when they said, you know, we're not interested in these tax cut things.
Exactly. Absolutely.
The people who were promising to cut USE, we laughed at them.
Yeah.
And we said, what are you doing? Don't, yeah. we're not interested. I don't want €5. I'd rather have, if my child gets sick, to be able to not have to spend hours in an A&E department before she's even triaged, you know, and we need to sort these things out. And they will come back to you and say, you know, they give you all these headline figures about the economy. But again, that goes back to Margaret Thatcher's world of, you know, there's no such thing as society and we live in an economy. No. And I want to go, Rory, you're saying the Nordic model. I'm very comfortable saying now that what we're seeing in the Balearics and in Spain and Portugal and these places.
Just as good, yeah.
That they're saying.
Well, we're not going to argue with
that. No, we won't. It's minutiae. No, we won't argue. But
my point being, we're closer to their mentality than we are to the US's of step over a guy on the road. You know, and unfortunately for Fine Gael, they backed the wrong horse when they said Leo Varadkar was going to be the guy that would keep us in government, because he's a manifest destiny guy. He's not.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, at least Simon Coveney had spoken about the Gareth Fitzgerald.
Have to say, Simon Coveney is probably the happiest man in Fine Gael at the present moment in time. But there's one
and
more.
Pascal will be when he's elected.
There's one more aspect of this that neither of you have addressed. There is now only room for one centre-right party in Ireland. There's only room for one centre-right party. Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael in some way are going to have to amalgamate, or one of them's going.
I wouldn't agree, because I think that you have to look, we're still, what I was struck by this election is the way history weighed on the present and the histories of different parties and all sorts of things. But yet Sinn Féin has made a breakthrough and broken through that historical barrier. But my worry would be, and you know that if we look at what happened to Labour in 2011, there is a danger that will happen again.
Only if you go into coalition with Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. That's it. That's your danger. It's the one wrong choice.
It is the one wrong choice. But also, there is going to be a huge pressure on, for example, there is another option possibly, which you didn't mention, which would be Fianna Fáil and the Green Labour Social Democrat bloc governing as a minority, large minority government supported from the outside by Fine Gael.
I actually think that the Sock Dams are strategic players, and they are. They have a 10-year plan of how they're going to become a bigger party. They're not so silly.
I wouldn't be so sure.
Labour do it because they're...
Power is so alluring, because the truth is you can achieve huge amount of things in power. In government, you can do a lot, and you can really, you get that. So for every political party, you have to, when you're standing there and you've been offered, Roisin Shortall is offered the Ministry of Health. Eoin Óibrín is offered the Ministry of Housing. Mary Lou is offered whatever, rotating Taoiseach or Tánaiste. You are there. Your hands are almost on the levers of power. How do you turn back and say,
okay, for some people, for me, it'd be real easy to say, no, fuck you. Real easy to say.
Some
people it is, for some people it's not.
No.
And I think Sinn Féin have always played a strategic game.
You're talking about Sinn Féin, Rory's not. Rory's
but I'm talking about...
No, Martin, you're not. You're not.
I'm saying Sock Dems, I think, played that strategic game.
I don't know.
And I think they do. I don't think Labour do, and I certainly don't think the Greens do.
And what I would say is that the pressure that is going to go on is going to be unbelievably immense on those parties to make a deal. And this is where we really need to have the discussion and say that if we really want change, and hopefully Mary Lou will lead on this and Sinn Féin will lead on this, there has to be a government without Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael that has a programme for a progressive, equal, inclusive republic.
And that's the crucial point.
That
is it in a nutshell.
That's it.
We can talk about it, whatever you want. Reality is, we have an opportunity here now, and I remember watching the also-rans leaders debate that they call it, which was just deplorable. But they actually referred to Catherine Murphy, Eamon Ryan and Brendan Howland, and they more or less said, you know, would you not just kiss makeup and then go with Fianna Fáil? If that is the way it goes, they have failed to grasp the nettle of what this is.
They failed to see it.
And I agree with Rory. The onus then is on Sinn Féin, is Mary Lou, not on Sinn Féin, but as Mary Lou, to craft a vision for an alternative. And that was, if Sinn Féin can sell that, and I mean by selling that, they sell livable cities. They sell, you know, because that's a green agenda. You know, if you can sell workers' rights, all of these things.
And we also have to understand, I think, and look at, and again, this, the onus becomes on Sinn Féin, and they'll say, well, why us? But you are now the largest party, you know, possibly in the state of the left, to actually go, okay, there's huge history between these different parties. And the old Brendan Behan thing, well, the first item on the agenda of this meeting of this progressive bloc will be the split and the differences that each of them have to get over themselves and go, okay, we're here now. We have to, Sinn Féin also have to go, we need these other organizations to work with us to offer an alternative bloc, no matter how much we dislike them and what they have done in the past. And each of them have to go see the historical moment we're in. And the point is, and Martin, maybe you're right about this, that about going to another election, the point is not to just view it at this moment in time, we have to get into government, or this is the moment, that this is a much more deeper structural change that we can see happening. And to represent that change, it might not be this election. It could be very well the next one or next one. But within the next two or three elections, hopefully this, probably in another election it will take it, we will see, we could see a progressive government for the first time.
We have to. If we're going to, if we're serious about climate change and we're serious about tackling, we absolutely have to.
Okay,
there's no choice.
I broadly agree what
Martin,
you're saying.
Martin, you get the last word. Go.
Okay, broadly agree what you're saying, except there's a clock on this. There's a clock on it. Because if you don't agree with Sinn Féin, or you can't agree policy with Sinn Féin, they'll go back to the country and then they won't need you. And then they won't need you. There's 10, 12 more seats out there. They won't need you. So it's not that you have to work it out. This is an audition. Give your best case. If you're not prepared, go home. You're finished. It's that way. That's the way this is. People aren't going to wait two elections. They're not going to wait three elections. They want it now. That's what they voted for. Give it to them.
Well, I can tell you, and folks, you're going to hear from Eoin Óibrín now, who has been successfully re-elected for Sinn Féin, and who has been referred to quite commonly as the best asset in any, like they said, if there was a transfer market for TDs, Eoin Óibrín would be basically Lionel Messi. And it's not far from the truth, because this very much was the housing election. And that's why it's generational. Yeah,
and the reality is, it's hard to see anybody not, except Eoin Óibrín, being housing minister.
The reality is, the other guy, you know, they're not up to the job. We need these people. We need quality people. And this is what it's about. You'll hear from Eoin. You got to remember, we need you guys to support the bloody podcast. If you don't support the podcast, it goes away. It simply goes away. Rory's at the cycling, sure, the pissing's rain, and Martin has dragged his arse in from Ashbourne. We do need your help. Price of a cup of coffee, patreon.com/tortoiseshack.
And again, to completely back Tony up on that, I think that, again, the analysis of this election, and fair play to you, Tony and Martin, for putting out the pods. I obviously haven't the same time in terms of it that I'd like to give to it, but you know, you've really done fantastic in terms of,
you put about five or six yourself in the space of 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, you know, we all did, and you know, did really, really well, I think, in giving an alternative voice out there, an alternative analysis. And even right now we can see it. If we had us set up as a proper alternative media, we could be providing even greater, you know, space, you know, coverage of voices, and you, because the absence of it is just so clear right
humongous
now.
And I just like to, last word, Tony, just, we're thinking of you, Rachel, okay?
Yeah, Rachel. To you and your family, we are all thinking of you. Stay tuned, folks, for the interview before I start crying again. We're delighted to be joined on the line by Sinn Féin, I'm going to say Director of Elections, is that fair to say, Eoin?
No, the Director of Elections out here in Dublin Midwest, we're not calling Darren O'Brodick. I was just a lowly foot soldier candidate this time round.
Eoin, thank you so much for joining us on the line. It must be, I know we've seen the polls for the last number of weeks, but you didn't dare to dream that it was going to be as big as this, did you?
No, like, we had a sense in the final week of the campaign that we weren't losing the momentum, just out on the doors talking to people, so in that sense, we knew we were going to have a good day. But look, to take 41% of the vote here in Dublin Midwest and to elect myself and Mark Ward in the first and second counts when we took 22% back in 2016, that's obviously just a phenomenal victory. Both, I suppose, for the Sinn campaign locally and for the party overall, and that's a result that's been replicated in different forms all across the state. So, obviously, from the party's point of view, it's a very satisfying result.
And what do you put it down to, Owen?
I think there's one central fact, which is over the last number of years, working people, people who are getting up early, who are doing everything right, who are working hard, paying their bills, have found themselves at the end of each month with less and less money in their pocket. Childcare has got so expensive, rents and mortgages continue to rise. You know, people can't access good quality public transport, so they're stuck in traffic and long commutes. And people are finding it increasingly difficult to access good quality, affordable healthcare. That's created this huge frustration out there that people are saying, hang on, we're in a recovery. The recession is over. Why aren't we feeling the benefits of it? And I think during the course of the campaign, one of the things Sinn Féin did successfully was convince those people that the reason why is because the economic and the social policies have been a fall in Fine Gael, and that if you want real change, then you have to vote for something different. And one thing I'll say is this isn't just a good day for Sinn Féin. 55% of the electorate have voted for change. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael's combined vote is its lowest in the history of the state. And that's quite a profound change in our electoral process.
I think that's a very important point. First of all, I want to say, just while you're on the line, that I've seen the comments made, and I'd echo it. If there was a transfer market available, you'd be the Lionel Messi of the housing remit. And I think that's really stood out for you in this campaign. But I want to move on. We're looking at, you know, the game of thrones begins now in terms of the seats and the numbers and who's counting what. Are you as excited as me and Martin are here about the possibility of a broad left?
Yeah, I mean, what I'd say is this, is that, you know, for all of us who've been in and around left-wing and progressive politics, you know, all our adult lives, we've always wanted to see a day where the dominance of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael was brought to an end. Now, we're not there completely yet. I mean, both parties obviously are in and around the 22% each. But the very fact that we have a third party now, Sinn Féin, a party fully committed to a left Republican political agenda, pushing those two parties into the position that they're in, I think is very significant. I think what matters now is, in the first instance, what progressive pro-change politicians and parties do in terms of our dialogue with each other. Do I think we'll have the numbers for a solely progressive or left-wing government? Probably not. But do we have the opportunity to have a serious left-led administration implementing profoundly different policies on health, on housing, on transport, on climate action, on preparing for United Ireland? Yes, I think we do. And I think those of us who are serious about delivering for people and implementing real social and economic transformation, we have a big job of work to do in the coming weeks to try and, you know, take best advantage of the opportunity that this election has provided us with.
And Owen, unlike the other two parties, whatever decision is made by the Ardesh. Everybody has to vote on this. It's not that this is a top-table decision. Am I right about that?
Yeah, and look, there's two things. Let's be very clear, right? Almost all of the people who spoke to me on the doors, and I've spoken to thousands of people in the last 4 weeks, they were saying two clear things. They want Sinn Féin in government to deliver change, but they do not want us to do what Labour and the Greens did in previous coalitions. Like, to a man and a woman, that was the message they were saying. And that's, I suppose, a huge responsibility, because the people who have given us their trust are the people who are struggling with high accommodation costs or unable to access accommodation, living at home or living in emergency accommodation. They're people who are crippled with high childcare costs. They're people stuck in long commutes or who have family members left on trolleys in hospitals. 15 hours, 20 hours to get into accidents and emergency. So these people urgently need change. This isn't some academic or theoretical discussion. This is about, can we collectively start to implement new policies that will deliver real social and economic change for people, you know, right now? And I think, you know, if all of the parties who say they want that kind of progressive change work together and talk together, this really could be a turning point in the history of politics in Ireland.
Owen, I get a feeling that there might be a call in the votes out there in the background.
It's a Dunleary wrapped down campaign.
Okay. Well, look, can I just say that I appreciate you being so open and honest about it. I will ask, and it's there are still people saying that, you know,
that the reticence of, you know, Sinn Féin now becoming a mainstream party. That Rubicon has truly crossed today, I believe. What do you think?
Well, first of all, if by mainstream you mean a party like Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, then that's definitely not the case. I think one of the really good things about this election was that there is a clear blue water between the manifestos of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil in terms of continuing with the same failed kind of private sector liberal economic and social policies, and Sinn Féin, among others, who are arguing for a much stronger, more courageous state that generates more tax revenue by introducing greater tax justice, and then invest that tax revenue in good quality public services to ensure a greater level of social economic equality. That's a fundamental dividing line between ourselves and the two centre-right parties. I think what has changed, however, is Sinn Féin is at the very centre of the political process, which is a very different thing to being mainstream. Mm. I have to say, any political party that refuses to talk to us on the other side of tonight's count, I think will be very poorly received by the voters, particularly that 50-55% of the voters who desperately need change.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there, Owen. It sounds very much like people have given their opinion, they want a broad left coalition, and woe betide those who don't row in with them. What are you going to do for tonight? What's your plans for the night? Are you just going to kick back and relax, or is it on the books and working?
No. So we're just waiting for the announcement of the second count here in Dublin Midwest. We're very, very hopeful that my running mate, Mark Ward, will be re-elected to the Dáil. Then we'll take a few hours off, a couple of breaths and a few drinks. But no, we're back in work tomorrow morning. First of all, as constituency PDs, we have a lot of catching up to do. We build up a lot of constituency work over your campaign. But also there's the very serious business of you know, party discussions internally about government formation, about programme for government, and obviously then whatever work we have to do in the Dáil. So no, unfortunately, no day off tomorrow for me and Mark. We might take a morning off, but we'll be back at it from lunchtime tomorrow.
Owen O'Brien, thank you so much, and congratulations on your own election and re-election, as I should say. And well done to you guys today. Thank you for taking the time.
No problem. Thanks very much. Good to talk to you both.